Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the podcast we have Kate Chastain, who you know from Below Deck, but who is now one of the reality stars on the new Peacock series, The Traitors. The full season is out now, and you guys, it is one of my favorite shows right now. I'm obsessed with it. I flew through it. I can't wait for another season. It basically brings a bunch of different reality stars from different, you know, the CBS Survivor Big Brother shows, some of the Bravo shows, some of the Bachelor people. And then they also throws in some civilians. So it's a really fun mix of people. And they basically compete to win money while there's also traitors in their midst. And they have to vote to see who they think the traitors are. It's a really interesting game. And it's based on a Dutch series, actually. And you know, if you did not watch the show yet but intend to, I would not listen to this interview with Kate Chastain because it's full of spoilers about what happens. But I highly recommend it. It's really entertaining, especially if you're familiar with a lot of these people, as I was, because I watch a bunch of those shows. So I loved talking to Kate all about the show. She makes it pretty far, and she just had a funny sensibility about her, as she always does, that clashed with some of the people, and it created for some amazing TV, some funny TV. And I just loved hearing about what the experience was actually like, what her mindset was actually like, kind of up and down throughout the taping. Yeah, she was super honest about it and hilarious as always. So keep listening for my interview with Kate Chastain. Stream The Traitors on Peacock. The full season is out now. And please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. All right, so we are here with Kate Chastain, originally from Below Deck, but now is on the new Peacock series, The Traitors. I finished it last night and I could not be more obsessed. Kate, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So the show's been out for like a week now, I guess. So how do you feel like an influx of new followers, new people who are discovering you as a personality? Like, what's it been like having the show out there?
I was on Below Deck for so long and it was such a popular show that it's pleasantly surprising to see people on Twitter saying, I've never seen Below Deck, but I like this Kate girl. It's so cool that a new audience is getting to watch me be sassy.
Exactly. And you're an early standout on the show. I mean, I think that as people sort of settled into the format of the show and figuring out sort of how it was going to work, I think that the humor that you and Brandy brought to it, I think, was really necessary. And I think it made those early episodes really just like fun to watch again as we figured it out. What was sort of your mindset in those early days of the show? Like, were you just sort of like also feeling it out? Were you kind of like, F it, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do?
You know, I think early on, once I realized I wasn't a traitor, it was pretty clear that I probably was never going to see that prize pot. And then also when I saw the way the other people in the castle played the game, I noticed they weren't very good at it either. Neither was I. So I realized, okay, the traitors are going to win, but here we are. Let's have a good time.
Mm. So did you want to be a traitor, or were you relieved not to be chosen?
No, I didn't want to be a traitor. Although in hindsight, the clue is in the name of the show, right? The show is called The Traitors. And I was like, the traitors had such an advantage, if only I had known. But I think that I'm just not real comfortable with lying. However, I think for that amount of money, I could have gotten comfortable.
Totally. So I kind of felt like, because it's interesting, because some of the people are from the CBS shows, who those are competition shows. So they're kind of at an advantage, right? Because they've gone through not this game, but a game on a show, and they know how to deceive and what have you to get ahead. Did you feel like they were advantaged going into it just from the get-go?
You would think that they would be, but they weren't really. Almost it was a disadvantage because they were so used to doing a competition show. So they were so locked into, well, you got to play this way. And like, you've got to have a social game. And they kind of weren't thinking outside the box.
Right.
And this wasn't what they were used to. I mean, Ceree clearly did have an advantage and it worked. But other than that, I think they were too just set in their old ways.
Yeah, you notice sort of them trying to use Big Brother or Survivor tactics of like kind of like getting an alliance together and getting the votes before going into the banishments and things like that. So it was interesting to see that play out, I feel like.
Yeah, and it was also, we had a lot of downtime where we weren't allowed to talk about the game, like while they're setting up challenges and stuff. And I learned so much about this competition reality world like the Big Brother people knew the Survivor people who also know the Challenge people.
Right.
And they all talk about each other. And it was fascinating to hear.
Mm-hmm. I read an interview that Ceree did with Vulture, kind of an exit interview after winning the show. And she said that like what she thinks is one of her advantages was that she actually was like talking to like everyone and just kind of like always being in one of those rooms, being social and whatever. And she said that the Bravo celebrities were kind of like an insular clique at some point. Did you feel that?
Did you think of that article? Thank you for bringing it up, because Ceree and I, she's one of the only ones that I still talk to on a regular basis. And I think she meant like day one. Yes, totally day one. But day one, of course, you're going to talk to the people you already kind of know in a sea of strangers. But let's face it, the Bravo people didn't really last that long. And then once it was Kyle and I left, I actually talked to Kyle the least. Truly, because he was very good at also playing that same way that Ceree did.
Right.
He's like, man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know.
That's his personality. President. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I would say he talked to me the least for two reasons. One, we already had this unspoken Bravo bond. And two, everybody kind of thought I was a lunatic. They're like, we don't know what to do.
And a traitor, right.
Yeah.
Totally. So you should text Ceree and ask her what she actually meant by that in terms of the Bravo comment.
No, because I know what she meant and I love her so much. Honestly, towards the end, I was like, I'm pretty sure Ceree's a traitor, but I don't even care because I like her so much. I don't even care.
Let her have the money.
Yeah. Good for you, Ceree. Yeah.
Totally. So in that downtime when you couldn't talk about the game, what were you guys talking about? Like, were the Bravo people, like, were you guys, like, sharing Bravo gossip? Were you just, like, hearing about everyone else's gossip? Like, what was going on in those conversations?
There was a lot of Bravo gossip at first. And then once we got through that, then we didn't know about what was going on in current events either, because we didn't have any access to the outside world. You know, Christian, one of the traders, he talked a lot. So we were a lot of listening to him. Hmm. And then we would ask about everyone's backstories of the people we didn't know. And one thing I was very surprised by was how little of those stories of the civilian cast was shown, because some of them were just so fascinating. One of them just bought a farm with their husband. One of them's going through an IVF journey. I mean, just really interesting people.
Yeah. And I think some of that sort of seeped in at the very end, like when we started hearing about Andy and how they're going to have a kid and all this stuff. And I agree that like sometimes it was like some people were so sure that somebody wasn't a traitor, and it was sort of like, how are they so sure? Because they were clearly so personally connected, but we didn't see any of that.
Right. And that's also accounted for a lot of the emotion-driven roundtable ceremonies, because we had so much time with these people and we got to know them and we got to know their stories and we got connected to them. So I wish the audience knew more about these other cast members, because they're lovely.
Mm-hmm. Is there one piece of Bravo gossip that you can share that you learned from Kyle, Reza, or Brandy?
Oh, you're so good. I know that Reza is very excited about doing a new show with Gigi and MJ.
Yes. Yes, I've seen them tease that. I'm excited about that.
Okay. I don't think that's much of a secret.
Well, because what and you don't have to answer this, but one thing that I did think about was that you and Kyle both sort of have a shared person that you don't have a great history with.
Uh-huh.
And Hannah from Summer House and Chat Room. Did you guys talk about her?
You know, actually, that was what Kyle and I's first friendship was ever based on. Because at the same time I was dealing with her on Chat Room, he was dealing with her on Summer House. But I mean, she's so out of the Bravo universe now that we moved on. We moved on to other.
Hey, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
and you guys didn't have your phones, right? So like, and also something that didn't happen until the very end, we saw you guys upstairs and you're getting into bed. And that was sort of the only time we saw your living quarters, which was upstairs. Were you guys hanging out up there, or was it all downstairs in where the cameras were?
No, the security on the show was tight because there's a large amount of money to be won at the end.
Yeah.
You know, so there were security guards. Like, you couldn't leave your room if you wanted to.
Yeah, so I was wondering, like, in the morning before breakfast, are you just, like, locked in your room and they're just like, all right, come out and then go downstairs?
Yeah, they say, come on out. And you don't know if you are going to breakfast or to another room. And I don't know what that room was because I never saw it.
Mm. That's a nice little check on the list.
I know, thanks.
All right, so Kate, so for most of the season, people thought you were a traitor. And obviously us as viewers know that they're very wrong about that. What was that like? Like, did you feel like you were almost like a punching bag, or were you like, I don't care enough to really have this deeply felt? Or because that's an interesting position to be in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I was highly annoyed because during the day, the only thing we had to do and were allowed to do in that castle for hours every day was talk about the game. Now, nobody was talking to me. And listen, I wasn't like preppy in high school, but I was popular. So this was a new feeling for me. Mm. Being like, no, like I would walk into a room and they'd be like, oh. It was just, wow. It felt so high school.
And why do you think that was?
Because they just did not know what to think of me. Mm. And also, honestly, I don't think it's anything I did wrong. Clearly, they all really did regress to this high school mentality. And it was like groupthink. And if Alan had told them all to jump off a bridge, they would have. In fact, I think that was the next mission. You know, like Alan's like, okay, everyone, push these barrels up a mountainside. And they're like, okay. And mm-hmm. I was like, you guys have lost your minds.
I will never get over watching you walk down that hill. I'm like, you guys are just embarrassing yourselves.
I mean, for the record, the only person that walked away with any of that money was Suri. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone totally. That was so mad at me got $0.
There we go. You thought ahead. So like, but in that moment, by that time, like you had sort of, you were kind of phoning it in. You were kind of like, you were super over it. You were asking to be banished. You wrote help on the little chalkboard to show the producers. Like you really seemed like you were checked out and really not wanting to be there. Did you actually not want to be there? Or was that like sort of kind of a tactic?
Here's what I didn't want. I didn't want to help these people who were being, you know, shutting me out and accusing me of things. I don't want to help you out. But I kind of wanted to stay because I liked sending those people home.
Right.
Bye. I'm still here. You're not. That was really my it wasn't the money for me. It was the spite.
Right. Totally. And you also, it seemed like you caught on to sort of what the traders were doing, which was keeping you there as a shield as well. So you were like, you probably knew that you weren't going to be murdered in the night at least.
Well, honestly, eventually I caught on to that. But when I was tossing the barrels, I was really wanting to go home to a martini.
Right.
My phone, my dog. I was like, okay, nobody's listening to me. Everybody's accusing me. I don't like doing manual labor or exercise. Let's just call it a day. But then once I just kept staying, I was like, well, if this is what's going on, let's have fun with it.
So was there a bar? There was a bar there though, right? You guys were drinking a little bit.
We were allowed like one glass of wine a night.
Okay. Because I was wondering, because I feel like if you guys were really getting boozed up, like more things would come out, right?
I can't tell you how many times I suggested that strongly to the producers. A little more wine never hurts
the
people.
Bravo trick, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So then, okay, like we have these couple episodes where you're giving the, I don't really care about whether I go home or stay, whatever. But then I feel like sometime before that cabin challenge where you're like with the mice and there's all the bugs being dumped on you, it seemed like you kind of locked back in at that point, sort of until you were banished. Like you sort of seemed like you had a new sensibility about you for those last couple of days. Is that accurate? Like, what were you thinking in those last days before you were banished?
You might think it happened in the cabin challenge, but not necessarily. I was still going to that challenge. Like, how am I going to mess this one up? Because now I was playing a new game.
Yeah.
It was how far can I get while doing the least?
Totally.
And that made it fun for me. But that challenge specifically, we were locked with a padlock into a small space. I didn't have a choice. Like there was no way for me to mess up and I really wanted to get out. So that, you know, in that challenge, just selfishness and survival kicked in. But then as I got closer to the actual money, I'm like, listen, if I'm still here at this point, anything is possible.
Mm. Yeah. So you were kind of tasting you had a slight taste for victory at that point.
I mean, I made it far. Yeah.
Totally. So for me, and I'm somebody who watched Big Brother, but one of the highlights of this entire show was your feud, your tension, whatever, with Rachel Riley from Big Brother. She's kind of a legend in that circle and you're a legend in the Bravo circle. So to see you guys kind of go head to head was just really fun TV. Like you had no idea who she was going into it, right?
No.
And you immediately didn't like her?
Immediately, I didn't really. She was one of many. But then she was just she was the opposite of me, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, these challenges are, you know, not it, guys. And I don't know about this. And she was all in.
Locked in.
She was the kid in class that when the teacher was done giving an essay would raise her hand with, can we, is there any way you could give us extra homework? You know, and you're just like, shut up. She was that personality. Like, oh, excuse me, Alan, if, what if we want to do this in the game? It's like, oh. So
she sort of great. She grated on your nerves a little, on you a little bit, a lot.
A little, and then the constant accusations didn't really help either. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the moment where she walks in sort of the Madonna-esque outfit, and you say, "That's a funny outfit." That's gold.
There was a lot going on there.
Hmm. And you were serving looks the whole time, Kate. Like, I feel like you kind of got on theme, but not too much on theme. You know, like you read the room with the outfits.
I will tell you the God honest truth. The biggest reason I was excited to do the show and the only reason I really wanted to last, it wasn't so much out of spite, but that was part of it. And it wasn't the money, but that was part of it. I had packed outfits that I really wanted to wear on camera because I wore a polyester uniform for 6 years.
You sure did.
And this was my chance to finally be like, look, I have real clothes.
Well, you showed out in a very great way. So I love to see that. You said in an interview, I think with Kate Casey, that you said like, once you're eliminated, you fly home. Like you guys were right out of there. So when did you find out who the traitors actually were and who won?
Well, I was very lucky because I made it to the finals and then everything that happened after that was still the same night while I was waiting for my flight. So we're all at the airport the next morning. We've got people from production. We've got Peacock execs. And I'm there with my luggage. And I'm not a huge fan of my cast members. So they just voted me out 12 hours ago. And there's Ari. And Ari was like, I was like, well, what happened? And the way Ari told it, he was still in shock. And he hadn't even slept yet.
So you kind of got the immediate tea right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Before we even left Scotland, yeah.
So how did you react when you found out that Sri was the traitor, that he was a traitor, that he had come? Like, what was your reaction to the whole deal?
I'm so glad you asked. You're the first person I've been able to tell this to. Sri being a traitor was no shock and happy for her. And you know what? I kind of loved the rest of it. Quentin and Andy, you played out. We all could have gone that far if we just... said nothing like Andy did, like, yeah, fly under the radar, just coast.
Floaters, yeah, totally.
Yeah, we all can't just do that. And, you know, Quentin had just been so passionately wrong the whole time that he didn't really deserve the money.
Yeah.
And Ari, you turned into a traitor. I mean, so... I'm not on your team either. Yeah.
Totally.
Yay, Suri.
Yeah. Well, and with Suri, again, I watched Survivor. So it was sort of, to me, and I think Brandy and Kyle sort of caught on to this, of like, from a producer's mindset, like, she's kind of like the perfect choice for a traitor because she has an amazing social game. She's really trustworthy, but she also is proven to be an amazing social game player on Survivor. So like, why do you think that nobody really like took her seriously as a potential traitor and brought her up in banishment?
I brought her up in banishment. This didn't show because Brandy had told me that she was a traitor. I was like, I'll bring it up. And Suri was like, got defensive. And I said, listen, this is the name of the game. And she goes, and what if I was a traitor? Like making me look like a bad person. I'm like, listen, there's gotta be some collateral damage here. I'm sorry, I didn't make up the game. So Suri was thrown out, but I think she has such a strong, intimidating presence that I think everybody in their gut kind of knew Suri was a traitor, but they wanted to focus on the other ones first. And they would cross that bridge when they got there because Suri might be a traitor, but we don't want to go there.
Totally. Yeah. She has that sort of, she almost has like this ethereal like thing around her. It's like, don't touch me. Like I'm untouchable.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a really strong power that one has.
It really is. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I feel like this doesn't seem like a kind of show that you would want to do again, but is it? Like, is this something that you ultimately looking back kind of with some space, oh, that was actually kind of fun, or no?
I was told it would be a psychological game and I would totally do a psychological game again.
Okay.
Just, I don't like physical exertion. I just don't, you know, it's not my vibe, but it was a good experience and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. So if the games were more like just kind of testing you mentally and things like that, figuring it, really trying to figure it out. Right.
Like Clue.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And you also said, last question, but you said like that you thought that it's sort of stacked for the traders to win and there aren't that many opportunities to like uncover who they are other than just like reading somebody if they're a bad liar, I guess. What do you think would have maybe benefited the faithfuls more?
I think that perhaps maybe the traders should keep the money that the faithfuls don't earn. Mm. So we can find out, like, were they secretly trying to sabotage a mission? Or we were told there was anywhere between 3 to 5 traders. So that's just like too much variables, you know?
Yeah, I agree with
that.
We
had a definitive. And if there was just some other slight little way for you to trip them up, but this was just, the game is just, okay, these 3 people have an advantage and you got to cross your fingers.
And sorry, last question, actually though, You've watched it back, I'm assuming. What was sort of the, was there a confessional moment or something that you saw that you weren't around for that you were like, oh, that makes you think, or like, oh, like they said that about me?
No, I mean, I knew pretty clearly that no one trusted me and most people thought I was a traitor, but it was really interesting to see the confessionals from the traitors now knowing that they were. And in hindsight, I mean, it's all pretty obvious. Like, we were really bad at that game.
But like you said, it's hard to, I think it's hard to be good at it, though. You know what I mean? It's hard to be
good. It is hard to be good at it. Thank you.
Yes, I'm with you. Well, Kate, this has been so much fun. I loved picking your brain about all this. And I'm so excited for impending motherhood for you. It's going to be an amazing journey. And I know that everyone in the Bravo community is super, super stoked for you. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, Kate.
Yep. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to We Should Talk. I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find out more about In the Know at inthenow.com. You can follow me.